You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
I'm on size after their festival tour. RIR benches in their protest wall.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Free Speech. We are at Stand Up Labs in New York. We are with the lovely Ann Coulter, and we are going to focus this interview on the best book she's ever written called Adios America. And it is a work of art. I find it different than your other books because this one seems to have a more of a beginning, middle, end arc. It's almost like one straight rant.
That
you get from A to B. I mean, with the other books like Mugged and stuff, I felt like, not that anything was superfluous, but if I pulled out a chapter, you'd still have a strong book. But this one, like Carlos Slim, is contingent on the previous chapter,
right,
and you need it to get to the next chapter. I don't know. It seems like
it's all
one case.
I like that. I think of it being different in a different way. You could be right, although I thought Mugged was an arc too, but forget the other books for now, and Treason. I think that was an arc too. The difference with those books was that I was correcting the historical record, whereas here I'm correcting lies being told to us right now and demanding action. This is, the best and most important book I've written, and it's being completely ignored by the mainstream media, but at least I'm here.
Well, you're all over Fox, and you were on a very popular Hispanic show called Fusion.
That was fantastic.
That was great.
No, but he's the only liberal who will be in the same room with me.
Did you notice, by the way, when he was doing that interview, he kept saying, I read the entire book.
Post-it notes throughout.
Yeah, but congratulations.
Well, it's more than most interviewers
I know.
Do.
Well, don't brag about it. You should be embarrassed that that's a thing. I read every single page. I read everything.
Obviously,
I finished it.
You have not been on a book tour before. I'm thrilled when they've read the first. But in their defense, I mean, he got one of the earliest copies. He probably had a copy before I did, though I wrote it, so I had that advantage. But a lot of the talk radio hosts, I mean, bless them, they're interviewing me the first day. If they got it, they got it, you know, 10 minutes before the interview. So I often like to go back and do those interviews again because they're always more fun when they've read it.
Right. Well, you know what's great about Ann's books? The last third is always footnotes. So you can be seen on the train reading a big, huge book. And it looks good on your bookshelf because it's so big. But it's actually only two-thirds of this size.
Yes.
Or maybe 70%.
Yeah, and you have all the index and the acknowledgement. So it's much shorter to read. I cut 200 pages a month before it came out. 200 pages.
Really?
Because I wanted to appeal to young people. And as you folks know, you're not readers. So I have short chapters. It's a short book, lots of headings. It's to appeal to the, because I just want people to read it. This isn't a book you buy and put on your coffee table. This is a book you have to read.
Well, it is very conversational, and it reads like we're hanging out in a bar, which I've always said about you is you talk in public the way we all talk in private. But there's also things like tangents where you sort of make fun of the situation and we'll make a fake conversation with an invisible person, which makes for a much funner read than just dry. Like Mark Steyn, I love, but I get depressed and sort of bogged down sometimes with all the information.
Well, this is not a depressing book, though a lot of it is, in fact, depressing. But, I wouldn't have written it if I didn't think there was still time to save America. There's no point. If this book doesn't work, well, then it's time to build the bunker and hire the cheap maids. But right now, I think there's still hope, and that's why I hope you're boiling with rage by the last two chapters. And then I have my campaign for action.
Well, yes, and that was a very impressive part of the book. But step one, people need to know what is going on as far as immigration goes. Nobody knows, for example, the brutal Hispanic crime rate.
Yes.
The myth is it's this big, happy family, and their family's very important to them. You always hear about family,
yeah,
family, family.
Yeah.
But they have kids out of wedlock more than blacks.
Yes, they do. Higher illegitimate birth rate than even black Americans. And as for this whole family values thing, it's always kind of irritated me. What, like Protestants don't have family values?
Right.
No, the difference is Protestants' family, and this is a Protestant country, is your spouse and your kids. It's not your third cousin. And in fact, there are a lot of studies of corruption and ranking countries by corruption. And one of the things they've looked at is Southern Italy. And it has the similar, you know, big family, the Catholic thing. Well, that's what leads to corruption. You're giving jobs to your brother-in-law, your third cousin. You have to know somebody who knows somebody. and the mob, that sort of family thing. That kind of family values we really don't want here.
Yeah, well, that's another problem with immigration is we're bringing in people not based on their talent, but based on the fact that they need free stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes. And apparently they're talent in committing crimes. Did you see the D.C. mansion murderer, legal immigrant? One of the things that I've noticed on this book tour, even sympathetic interviewers keep throwing in the word illegal. And if you look at how Republicans talk about this in terms of illegal immigrants, the way Republicans talk about this, they've decided, okay, the way we're going to go is we love legal immigration. It's only illegal immigration that's the problem. No, 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 no. Other than the first chapter that talks about amnesty, this is all about the legal immigrants we're bringing in. They're no day at the beach either.
Yeah. Well, it all started, when did it start? Was it 65 when the gates just were broken open? They said it was temporary, but they never closed again. They came right off the hinges.
Yeah, it came off the hinges. It was the Kennedy 65 Immigration Act, specifically designed to change the demographics of this country. Though when it went through, as with Obamacare, surrounded with lies, a miasma of lies, this will not change the demographics of America. We'll get basically the same people we've always gotten. No, it was specifically designed to bring in peasant cultures who would remain poor for generations, remain on government support, so that you would have a solid block of Democratic voters. And it worked. Obama never would have been elected, and he certainly wouldn't have been reelected. Romney won bigger against... If the demographics of this country had not changed so dramatically because of immigration, Romney would have won a bigger landslide than Reagan did against Carter in 1980.
Really? Well, the other big problem with that was women voters. Women should have the right to vote, but should they vote?
Well, as you know, my position is women should not have the right to vote.
Good.
It's very popular on college campuses.
Yeah, I mean, we'll lose the odd Anne as collateral damage, but...
No, we can still write books. We can run for office.
You just can't vote.
Exactly.
How about if you don't pay tax, you can't vote?
That was what my father always said.
Really? I've just been obsessed with this recently, thinking, you're not a customer. You don't have a say in how this
right.
restaurant goes. That's like strangers coming in off the street, homeless men,
right.
and saying, I want this on the menu, and then walking out.
Well, technically what he said was, you could vote if you weren't getting back stuff from the government. If you're breaking even...
Okay.
Okay, but not if you're getting more from the government than you're paying in. Well, you're just voting for more stuff for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's why Democrats like them so much. But the thing I don't understand about Republicans is they seem to be under the same delusion. I guess they think, Mexicans will assimilate, and then they'll buy houses, and then they'll pay tax, and then they'll want to be Republican?
I think they're just terrified of the race issue. And as I say, and although you disagree with me, on the special experience of blacks in America, it's at least indisputable. That's why civil rights laws were written. That's why we have a 14th Amendment. Now,
yes.
I don't think the Democrats did very nice things to blacks to remedy slavery and Jim Crow. No, they just destroyed the black family. But we'll leave that discussion for another day.
That's mugged.
That's mugged. The point is... in theory, we owe something to black America. We owe nothing to someone who arrived yesterday. Do
right.
not act like you're black.
Well,
do
that's
not
what
give
was
me
so
the racism
shocking.
Crap.
Everyone was shocked about your quote on Fusion, where this guy was talking about multiculturalism. He looked incredibly white, by the way.
I know.
Like a conquistador.
But he thinks America's quite racist.
Yeah, it's really racist. It needs more diversity. And you just said, you're not black, so shut up about racism.
Right.
And the shock behind that shows how far we are from the truth. I want to get into these two big myths, which are there's only 11 million and there's no Hispanic crime. And then I want you to tell us why those myths are so strong in America.
Wait, what was the first one? Oh, the 11
first
million.
One is 11 million.
Yeah, that I always was suspicious of that because we've been hearing 11 million for a decade. So that can't be right. And it turns out these two Bear Stearns analysts back in 2005, and you can read this in the book, so I won't go into too much detail, but they were advising something important, their money. And
mm-hmm.
they said, look, all these 11 million claims all come from the census reports. And they ask people, are you foreign born and are you here legally, in separate questionnaires, and they subtract all foreign-born, from all foreign-born, the number of people who say they're here legally, and you end up with the illegal population. You know, it's like stepping on a scale holding your dog.
Right. And but it also discounts anchor babies completely, doesn't it?
Well, first of all, it assumes that illegal aliens are answering government surveys, which is what the Bear Stearns analyst pointed out. So they looked at other things, remittances back to Mexico, housing permits, school graduation rates. And back in 2005, they concluded it was 20 million. Meanwhile, these two famous investigative reporters, Bartlett and Steele, you can look up those names together on Wikipedia. They are such famous investigative reporters. Back into that very next year, 2006, they said 3 million are coming in a year. Well, so I said, okay, I'm going to underestimate this. Let's say it's 1 million a year. Let's say 1 million a year. That gets us to the minimum figure of 30 million illegal aliens today. If it's 3 million a year since Bartlett and Steele said so, at least for 2006, it's 50 million a year. And, you know, go to L.A. and you'll think 30 million is low.
Yeah, that's incredible. And we don't hear about this because one of the main reasons that you talk about in the book, in the Carlos Slim chapter, which I thought was amazing, he saved the New York Times from bankruptcy. He has an agenda because he's a telecom guy, and he gets a cut every time money gets sent back or calls get sent back. And his thing is, don't discredit illegal immigration. Make it sound cool because I need the money.
That's right. He makes money off both legal and illegal immigration to America. Because Mexico is a very poor country, but they get a lot of money being sent back by legal and illegal immigrants here. That's a cost of immigration that Americans are never told about. But yes, many Mexican immigrants, hardworking, they're also accessing a lot of government services.
Right.
And of the money they're collecting, they're sending half of it back to their grandmothers in Chiapas, who are then spending it on Carlos Slim products. He owns 40% of the companies being traded on the Mexican stock exchange. Well, you know, being a monopolist, and he has a monopoly on all telecommunications, being a monopolist means nothing in Uganda. No one has any money.
Right.
But luckily for Carlos Slim, Mexico is right next to the richest country in the world. So Mexico is getting $20 million a year in remittances from Mexican immigrants to this country. They're just sending that $20 million to Mexico. That is $20 million being vacuumed out of the American economy. It won't be spent to start businesses in this country. It won't be spent to tip your doorman, to buy products, to hire employees. It is sucked out and put in Carlos Slim's pocket.
Well, it's the opposite of tourism. Tourism is the best industry because you just sit there and people bring you money and throw it at you just to be near you.
Right.
The opposite of that is you come and you just take all their money and throw it back to your country.
Yes.
But 20 million sounds low.
So, I'm sorry, billion.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Did I say, I'm sorry.
Well, the myth is...
Which is more than we send them in foreign aid.
Right. Oh, yeah. You mentioned that in the book. There's this myth of the poor Mexican family struggling to feed their each other so they can go, you know, send the daughter to college. But the majority of illegals that I see in New York, they're under the bridge. They won't work for under 10, 15 bucks an hour. They don't do minimum wage. And then they all live in a house in bunk beds where there's 15 guys. They work 7 days a week and their money is all profit.
Right.
They end up spending it and sending it back. The only thing they blow their money on is these stupid dances with a pretty girl where you spend $5 to dance with a lady and they'll blow their paycheck there sometimes. But besides that, it's all zoop, zoop, back to Mexico.
Yes. Yes. And legal immigrants to this country take far more government assistance than Native Americans do. Illegal immigrants overwhelmingly take more welfare than Native Americans do. About 71% of illegal immigrants are already accepting government benefits. And just in a calculation of how much you get back from the government, depending on average what your educational attainment is, high school dropouts get, I forget what it is, it's about between $20,000 and $50,000 a year back in net income from the government. You know, we're taking out those important sales taxes they pay. Obviously, college graduates are sending in about $46,000 a year more than they get back in taxes. Well, only about 8% of Americans don't even have a high school degree. A majority of immigrants do not have a high school degree. These are poor people being dumped on the country who are going to be net welfare recipients and not taxpayers.
And no one wants to discuss it. And they get away. I just, an hour before I came here, my credit card, I lost my credit card, so my Sirius account's running out. And this woman calls me and she goes, hello, Gavin, me. I'm calling from Sirius. And I go, hold on. Gavin? How do you get Gavin out of that? There's no why. I'm sorry, Mr. Gavin. And I go, you don't say Mr. before the first name. You go Mr. and then the surname. And let's get to that surname. What? And she goes, Mykonos. And then I go, say, just spell it out. It's like cat, k-at. Just spell it out. And she goes, Mykonos. And I go, you can't read. You're illiterate. And then she's going, I'm so sorry that you're feeling this way. And I go, I need to talk to your superior. And she goes, may I ask you why? And I'm like, because you don't speak English and you can't read. We can't communicate. And she was honestly reading at a five-year-old's level.
I love this. You're like the one-man assimilation machine.
Yes.
You've got to learn English. You're the only one telling them they need to learn English.
Yeah, no one would dare say that. And she eventually, I hung up. She refused to let me see her superior because she knew that would get her in trouble, right? I
mean, so she hung up.
Very telling. And then I called back and I got a robot who speaks perfect English.
Yes.
And I thought, this is where we're heading here.
Yes.
These workers are getting so incompetent and demanding so much that we're just going to automate everything some point.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of it has already been automated. Incidentally, you reminded me, I'm a little late getting my audio book up. It'll probably go up next week. But I wrote the book. I cut all these pages from it. It's basically memorized and in my head. So I could read it reasonably quickly. I did it a month ago. But all those comical foreign names kept tripping me up.
Yeah.
And so I was telling a talk radio host about this, and he said, oh, you got to put that in as the outtakes. So I was just listening to those today. And we do have about 5 minutes of the end of me struggling to say these insane foreign names.
Oh, my God. Well, that's my favorite example. Is one of the most irritating names I've ever heard. I think he's Bangladeshi. And his name is Lucky Reddy Bali Reddy. Did you make that? Is that just like a character from a children's novel?
And let's say what Lucky Reddy Bali Reddy was doing, importing 12-year-old girls he had bought from their parents for sex, because that's the kind of culture we're bringing in.
Yes, a stupid, hyperbolic exaggeration of the British caste system where they don't just have upper, middle, lower. They have a whole spectrum that goes down to untouchable human garbage that you can rape at your leisure.
Yeah, because they're inhuman. Buy from their parents for sex. And the girls think that's perfectly normal, and they're now our fellow citizens.
And we went to Bangladesh, found more victims, and just randomly brought them here.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. And that chapter where the cops catch him wheeling out a woman in a rolled up in a carpet that he gassed to death. And yes. They don't want to, they just let him go because he says he's taking her to the hospital
in a rolled up
classic
carpet
shape, yes, to keep the bones taut.
Yes.
And I just thought, this is Rotherham all over again, where the police were so scared, yes, of being racist that they allowed a giant prostitution ring to prosper.
Right.
Because
right.
Being rude is worse than child rape.
Yes. Being rude to someone with a slightly brownish hue. But again, Bali Reddy, Lucky Reddy, you're not black. You don't get to Mau Mau us.
Yeah. Well, somehow they could twist that into it's all the British's fault that their country sucks. But
yeah, okay, we're not Britain. However that may be.
Right.
We did nothing to you. If there's a problem, go home and address the perpetrators. And by the way, they threw the British out and all the British did was bring them indoor plumbing.
Yes, help them build infrastructure. They haven't exactly been thriving since independence. It's a little bit more of Jamaica and Haiti. And it seems like every time someone whips their shackles off, they end up going straight down the drain.
Yes, that's culture.
Well, yeah, it's some cultures are better than others. And the way we kowtow to these, not that the book mentions Muslims, but these Muslim names where you're sitting there going, Muhammad Malak Mahar Mahak was part of the main cell that involved the cleric Mushmarak Mahag Mahag Mahak. And you're like, make up funny names like the hedgehog. And that disempowers the whole thing. We revere these other cultures so much when they suck.
I know. Like, I know. And I do have a lot of Muslim names in the outtakes.
Oh, really?
You know what I wish I'd done for the audiobook? It would have been funny. It would have saved me like 2 days recording time. You can plug a name in, you know, on Google, how to pronounce. And I wish for every one of those names, we just had the computer voice come in and
yes,
say it.
Lucky Reddy, Bali Reddy.
Yes.
Yeah, that would leave the editor a little reclamped. But all I want from this book, I don't care if you're pro-immigration at the end. I just want you to know what's really going on.
Yes.
Let's just get it out there because nobody knows what's going on. And I blame Carlos Slim's New York Times.
Yes.
For lying to us about the brutal crime rate. You said that you it's easier to find stuff about the Clintons' corruption than it is to find out about the Hispanic crime rate, I believe.
Oh, yes.
And I spent hours on it, too. And it is so, they keep changing. Sometimes Hispanics are white. Sometimes they're not white. You can't get the numbers.
Never count anchor babies. Never count naturalized citizens. Never count legal immigrants, or at least not in state prisons. And, you know, as I say in the book, aren't the legal immigrants or the ones that the government has made citizens? Isn't that worse when they commit crimes? These are the ones the government looked over and said, here, let's get the papers to you right away. This sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's even more dire. Yes. That's failed.
Yes.
Well, that's the other thing that no one ever brings up, is that a lot of these immigrants come here with no intention of assimilating.
Right.
And even Marco Rubio, he's on TV talking about his wonderful parents and how hard they struggled. And I'm thinking, they kind of sound like losers. Like, they don't speak English very well. They've been here since the 50s.
They don't? Did he say that?
I'm guessing. They still live in Wisconsin,
well,
Cuban
Bush
culture.
Doesn't.
Oh, really?
They speak Spanish at home, and she speaks like a pidgin English.
Wow. Yeah, the Bushes have this strange obsession with the Mexican elite that borders on fetishism.
Well, Columba's not quite the elite.
No, but didn't Jeb and George and everyone go down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they're pals with Carlos Slim.
Amazing.
Yeah, and even with all of that, I was just on O'Reilly and pointing this out because he's buying into this idea, as everyone does, I can't pin it on him, the entire Republican Party, that all we need to do is get a few more points of the Hispanic vote. It's just so frustrating. We really, my party is the stupid party. We've been through this so many times before. No, drive up the white vote. That's how you win. You don't have Democrats running off. We need to get slightly more of the evangelical fundamentalist vote. If we could just get a few more points. And that actually would make more sense because there are more fundamentalist Christians than there are Hispanics. But what they're, even with everything Bush was doing, he's still lost 60% of the Hispanic vote. If you're not getting 51% of the vote, you're losing, Republicans.
Right, and there's this assumption that Hispanics are out there voting in droves, lining up to get on the voter booth and put their little ink mark down.
Right.
I don't believe it.
No, though, I think a lot of them are being voted for.
Right.
That's why all the Democrats just want to get it. It's funny because I think a lot of both legal and illegal Latin American immigrants really couldn't care less about voting. They're coming here for the jobs and the welfare.
Yeah.
And their heart is still in Mexico. They're going to go back to Mexico when they retire. They're not rushing across the border like, you know, Chris Hayes on MSNBC. And we're browning America. Isn't this fantastic?
Yeah.
Look at the browning. No, they don't care about that. That's the Democrats and the liberals. And they've decided to give Hispanic immigrants a different present than the one they asked for. We're going to give you a voter's registration card. And it doesn't matter if they vote. They'll be voted for in absentee ballots. Thus, the early voting nonsense.
Well, I like you talk about that in the book a lot, that most of these pro-Mexican, pro-immigration politicians are basing their whole ethos on platitudes and emotion, and that is based on Jorge, who does the lawn, and their nanny.
Yes, yes.
That's their whole scope of experience.
Yes.
And they would hate to lose her. They're wonderful people. Look how sweet she is with the kids.
Yes. And their neighborhoods aren't the ones where little girls are being gang raped and pimped out and so on. No, that will never come to Nob Hill or Park Avenue. You only get the very cheap help, which apparently they're not willing to pay a few dollars more for. It solved the rich's servant problem, and they don't have to see these towns that are going 100% Hispanic.
Yeah. And it's funny how little they're saving, too. I mean, a young American nanny is probably 40 grand a year, and they're probably paying 20 grand a year. So they're saving 20 grand when they're making upwards of $1 million
yeah.
a year.
Yeah.
It's really nauseating.
But that came up, as I say, with Clinton's nomination of the series of attorney general nominees, all of whom had illegal alien nannies. And they were all, you know, women making astronomical salaries And getting chauffeurs and maids and nannies dirt cheap. And the New York Times, of course, was defending the rich's need for help for domestics, and interviewed some maid agencies. And they said, well, you can get a legal maid, but it's going to cost you. Oh, no. If we have to pay $2 more for that nanny, I'm sorry, we're out.
Yeah, and it was amazing how indignant they were about their innocence.
Yes.
They say, yes, I'll take the job, I have no illegals. And then they'd catch her and she'd say, well, I mean, come on.
Yes.
And he couldn't find anyone. He couldn't find a rich person. And I always say that because I'm torn about this. On the one hand, I think, should we speak liberal speak to liberals so they can understand it? And I convinced a comedian, a very liberal comedian, okay, it took me a year and a half. And I use tactics like the only people it benefits are rich whites in both countries, the Vicente
yes.
Foxes
yes.
and the Upper West Side. It hurts poor Mexicans in Mexico, destroys their villages. It hurts the black working class here, and they're used as cheap slave labor here.
Yes.
So no, the only people getting hurt here are the poor, and the only people benefiting the rich whites. Do you hate it now?
Right.
And after a year and a half, I guess I sort of convinced him. And then I thought, why am I this tutor? Why do I have to kowtow and speak in children's speak about basic mathematical figures? Like you always say to liberals, you go, what's the number? And by the way, they never say 11 million. They have no clue. I've got 50 million, I've got 100 million, I've got 3 million. And because we don't teach math in school anymore, none of those numbers are bad. So I got 50 million once, and it was like a hmm. And I go, whoa, that okay, let's do that. Fine with me. You just saved me some time. Is that too many? And they go, no, we're a nation of immigrants. That's what made our country.
Oh!
Okay, how about 100 million? No, and they'll keep going and going. It's like spending with education. They'll
yes.
say 12,000 a student isn't enough. How about 50,000? How about 100,000? It's never enough.
Yes, and it's going to be a lot more. It is the middle class that's paying for the riches. It's not just the poor and the rich. The middle class, their schools are being overwhelmed. And to educate a non-English speaking person from a wildly different culture is so much more expensive than just having a kid move from, like, you know, Darien to Greenwich High School. No, this is going to be extremely expensive. Lots of extra workers and English as a second language students are going to have. I mean, these kids from the surge last year from Central America didn't know how to use toilets. So this is great for the Democratic Party. They get lots of government workers. But all of this is being funded by the middle class. And suddenly, you know, the school can't afford the holiday pageant anymore, even though property taxes are going up to pay for the schools because, oh, sorry, we had to pay for the immigrants that the federal government decided to let in and make you pay for.
It is stunning. And there's this sort of aversion to assimilation where we play by your rules. I mean, Spanish kids in my neighborhood will go to Spanish schools, even though they were born in America. They're Puerto Ricans, and they're going to Spanish schools learning in Spanish, which sounds like a detriment to me. Isn't that child abuse?
Yeah, I would say
you're
so.
Giving them a handicap in the real world.
Yes, you are. No, we used to, you know, there was an intense assimilation effort. Immigrants may not have liked it before, but now no one's even asked to assimilate, and it's a hate crime to ask them.
It's discouraged. And I think that's why we have so many of these ginger jihadis. I mean, you look up any attack against America, and I keep repeating this, but from Boston bombers, you mentioned in the book, you look at their childhood, and it was always, I played soccer, and he listened to Van Halen, and he was a relatively normal kid. He was still an immigrant, and his parents were still Muslim, but he was on the way to assimilation. And then they start to get into adolescence, and they get into a culture where we've trivialized patriotism, and we said this country sucks, and
right.
it's racist, and the cops kill black people for sport.
Right.
And you start getting mad, and the next thing you know, you hate this country.
But yes, the culture has to be changed, too. I think that would be a lot easier if we didn't have people, millions, tens of millions pouring in who have no affection and no commitment to this culture.
Let's go over some myths, can we?
Yes. There's so many.
We are a nation of immigrants.
Oh. No, we're actually less a nation of immigrants than many other nations on Earth. We're a nation of British and Dutch settlers. They came here.
Germans galore.
Well, that came in a couple centuries later, and okay. we weren't wild about them. No, Benjamin Franklin put an end to all those krauts coming in. but for the first few hundred years, it was 100% British and Dutch, almost 100% Protestant. They created America. They were not coming to colonies named America. They were not coming to a country named America. They created that thing. They are settlers. They are not immigrants. And then we had, for some crazy diversity, we took different white people from other parts of Western Europe, the Germans and the Italians. And, oh, boy, they had to be whipped into shape. This is the problem with taking poor people who are brown. We're allowed to criticize German immigrants.
Right.
If they did the things our recent immigrants are doing, we'd notice it and we'd point it out and complain.
That helps assimilation, I think. Polak jokes and this sort of ribbing.
Right.
It's a form of sort of passive, not passive aggressive, but subliminal camaraderie.
Oh, completely it is. Yeah, I mean, immigrants may not have liked it, but you could do it before. Now we're required to treat all immigrants slightly darker than Joe Pesci, as if they're blacks and we're making up for the legacy of slavery, so we can't say anything. We had the Puerto Ricans for vibrancy. I'm going back to the building of the nation. For the first 100% of American presidents had at least partial British ancestry. 85% of American presidents were exclusively British and Dutch. And the British Isles and the Netherlands comprise an area of the world smaller than Japan.
Right.
If 100% of our presidents were part Spanish and 100% Japanese, 85% were at least part Japanese, would we still talk about, oh, we're a nation of immigrants, it's just the melting pot? No, the crazy diversity only started in 1970, which, again, would be fine if there were fewer of them, probably coming from less wildly diverse cultures, not the world's poorest of the poor, and if we still assimilated them. That's why I say we have to have a total moratorium, shut down all of the pro-immigration, anti-American groups, shut down the entire immigration bureaucracy. We'll get our files in order. We'll assimilate the ones already here, and then we'll start it up again and get more Brits and Dutch.
Yeah, and when you say we'll assimilate the ones, you mean the Canadian immigrant who came here in 99, you wouldn't want him to have to go back, right? If he brought a lot of jobs and he's a super
yes,
nice guy.
I think we'll keep him.
Okay, good. Thank God.
It's crazy how hard it is for Canadians to immigrate.
It took me 10 years and $10,000, and I brought at least 12 jobs on day one, which blossomed into dozens more.
No, I know from obviously, you know, a lot of comedy writers and comedians are Canadians. I can't believe what they have to go through.
Why is there a border there? Let's just knock that down.
Well, no, I think we're going to want to keep it there because if this book doesn't work, that's where we're all going to have to flee to.
We'll be the new draft dodgers.
Yes, it'll take Latin America another century to make it up to that border. So we want to keep that border very strong.
Well, they don't like the cold. And it's funny when I hear everyone in L.A. go, this brings us to the next myth, that we couldn't survive without immigrants and the economy would shut down. I go, I've been to such a place. It's called Canada, and the landscaping is done by things called teenagers. And it's crippling to have teens not do work.
Yes, it is.
Because that's why they're all on the couch now.
Yeah.
If you don't learn about money and billing the pool you cleaned and the lawn you mowed when you're young, I always say it kills your entrepreneurial libido.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just
no, it's true. I've been to such a place. It was the America I was born into. and when I was a kid, you're absolutely right. All the yard work was done by especially handsome college students. And they made a lot of money in the summer. And they were tan and gorgeous. And now you cannot find a gardener who isn't a small, undefinable brown person. And the thing about that is, I had a friend who owned a restaurant, and he kept complaining about how much, you know, American kids sucked, and they'd show up on their skateboards, and nobody wanted to work. And he happened to own the hottest restaurant in Aspen, Colorado. You've heard of Aspen. Very popular with young people, with young snowboarders. Well, you couldn't find somebody who would work in your restaurant so he could be a ski bum or a snowboard bum, I guess you'd call them now, all winter. But no, you're not going to be the only gringo in the kitchen.
Right.
There's a tipping point.
Right, exactly. Well, California's reached that tipping point, and blacks can't work in fast food anymore because they don't speak Spanish. If you don't speak Spanish in a fast food place in California, We don't want you there. You don't understand your coworkers.
Which reminds me, part of my plan for the Republicans, the part about driving up the white vote, which is how Republicans have always, always, always won. If Romney had won 4% more of the white vote, he would have won. 71% of the Hispanic vote, he still loses. So you got to concentrate on winning the white vote, particularly, I'd say, the white male vote, and stop running off and doing what the Democrats want, obsessing with getting some of the pro-choice, the abortion ladies. Let's get some of them. But I think Democrats, I mean, that would also force a little bit of a crisis with the Democrats. They have to keep together these warring factions, which is how they win elections.
Right.
How about the Mexicans and the blacks? I mean, African-Americans can't be happy that they're the ones who put the Democrats through law school. And now the Democrats are running off with the ranchero mistress because Hispanics are more numerous. I mean, in L.A., huge gang fights between the blacks and the Mexicans.
Oh, massive race wars we never hear about. Brutal. And they always chalk it up to gangs. But you look at the cases and you go, you weren't even in the same neighborhood. This wasn't turf. This was sport.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were hunting
yeah.
blacks.
Yes.
It's scary. And what the scariest part about it is Carlos Slim's New York Times won't go near it.
Absolutely not. And the times used to be different. I mean, I had a few quotes I wanted to cut the book down and just give a couple examples, move on. But I was reading through New York Times immigration coverage long before Carlos Slim came aboard, and it was quite a sane newspaper on immigration.
Right, they were
shocking.
Fairly pro, but it was sober. And
they
it recognized the danger.
Illegal immigration.
Anti?
Anti-illegal immigration. They were it's interesting.
How far back are we going?
94.
Wow. Because definitely now there is no denying it. It's cheerleading.
Yeah.
And even the puff pieces on Carlos Slim are shocking.
Yes.
About how much he's loved and admired, which I don't buy that for a second.
Oh, I do. I have bad news for you. That's another part of the culture.
No.
They worship criminals. There was just a guy who
worship their insane monopoly, the bills they need for internet, the bills they need to use a phone down there. It's more expensive than the States.
I am absolutely sure that poll is true, that a majority of Mexicans said Carlos Slim is the great leader Mexico needs. No, there. I and that was part of what I cut from the book. A lot of criminals in Mexico they turn into like Bonnie and Clyde heroes. It's a very different culture. Or you also see conspicuous consumption, sort of a la the Kardashians, which is so un-American in the sense of being non-American culture. Again, American culture is WASP culture. There's a reason WASP culture has, you know, the patches on the elbows. It isn't a look.
It's
We're
not
cheap.
Audacious. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny when you see P. Diddy and stuff in his Rolls Royce and his blinged out jet ski and his gold sunglasses, and you go, that's not really how the American rich or the British rich behave.
Right.
They have
right.
a beat up BMW. They have elbow patches. They have no shoes on, a guitar in the back, and they're staying at Rosemont's house for a week before they go travel to visit daddy.
You could always tell who the richest person was in my hometown of New Canaan, Connecticut by who had the oldest car.
Yeah. They always got a piece of shit BMW, and they never have any money. You're always paying for rich people. They're always I'm sorry. I don't have any cash, dude. Can you handle this? Yeah, I'll pay for your $1 pizza,
but
rich
the worship
jerk.
Of criminals is part of that culture. There was just a Mexican illegal immigrant who killed a cop in Texas. He was on death row for a while. He was finally executed when his body was shipped back to Mexico. Huge heroes welcome.
Wow.
Heroes welcome. You should have seen it. There were thousands out in the street playing guitars. Heroes welcome. He killed a cop.
Yes. Well, that really helped MS-13 because there's a huge status when you've come from New York or LA and you come back and you're this cool American gangster, and then you can spread MS-13 in your little town and help strengthen it in Mexico.
That's fantastic. So it's working out well for everyone.
Isn't it great? That reminds me of another myth. Diversity is our strength. And the amazing thing about this is, without exception, the example is restaurants.
Yes, that's the only example.
It's the only example. Right. And it's more people serving you. You love Mexican illegals because they're your nannies and your gardeners. And you love global diversity in America because it's more variety of servants to bring you different foods.
No, the only good thing about diversity is the restaurants. But we don't need However many, 50 million illegal immigrants, probably another 50 million, at least another 50 million legal immigrants. We don't need that many coming in.
We don't need that variety of restaurants.
Diversity in human beings, you know, for the diversity of perspective and culture has never been anything but an unmitigated disaster, often leading to ethnic cleansing.
Right. Well, there is a hybrid vigor you get from breeding outside of your family, but
yes.
you just have to do,
yes.
you just have to leave first cousin to get that. And what's amazing is, because I have heard of that argument, like biodiversity, and don't mixed kids look beautiful and stuff? And my children are incredibly attractive.
Yes, they are.
But we're bringing in these people who are marrying their first cousins and filling up hospitals with genetic disorders, especially in Britain with the Pakistanis.
Oh,
this
yes.
brutal for a first cousin marriage, leading to all kinds of serious defects and a terrible child mortality rate.
Oh, that's right. That's
so,
right.
So their lack of diversity is part of our new diversity.
No,
and
that's
their intolerance
yeah.
is part of our new tolerance.
That's right. Why are we letting in racists? Why are we letting in people who hate diversity? Because, I mean, you do see that with 90% Mexican towns complaining it's not Mexican enough. Wait, so diversity is just a synonym for Mexican now?
Yeah. Well, that happened on your show, on Fusion.
Yeah.
They would say, don't you understand that America is made up of so many? And they say their show's about diversity. It's clearly just a Hispanic show, just for Hispanics.
Yes.
They don't have an Ethiopian episode. There's no Somalian or handicapped people in the audience. It's 100% Hispanic, but they just ride this diversity.
And our immigration has become far less diverse since Teddy Kennedy's act, starting in the 70s. It used to be more diverse, admittedly, from white Western European countries mostly. But I consider, you know, the Scotch, the Irish, the English, I think that's enough diversity.
Yeah.
That really mixes it up for
well,
me.
Well, in Britain, if a Scotsman says something rude to an Englishman, they call that racism. So they're clearly counting them as separate races. But you bring up an interesting point about the population. And I think environmentalists need to understand that if you care about the environment, you care about overpopulation. You care about the number of people, not how many coffee cups they recycle. Now, I don't know if you can see this, right? But here is our population right now, okay? It's going up like this. Can you zoom in on that? Or should I get up to the camera?
That's a totally great high-tech graph. See, I can't do those slideshow things. I don't have the technological capability.
Now, so this is the population. It's going up like that at a pretty high rate. But if you cut out immigrants, illegal immigrants, it would just look like this, straight ahead. The population would maintain. This, 100% of the growth, is Mexican illegals. And Peter Bermelo calls that the wedge. Now...
And legals.
So if immigration is causing 100% of the population increase... Why don't environmentalists care?
Well, I think it's worse than that. I don't really care about the population per se. If we were getting, and we can't, there aren't enough people like this, but if we were bringing in people who are better than us for that wedge, if they were smarter, more educated, better looking and taller, then that wedge would be fantastic. The problem is that wedge is full of peasants who have no concept of litter. They are burning down our national parks. They're dumping trash all over. They're planting pot farms, in one case, dumping pesticides within a few miles of the world's tallest tree. I mean, they will burn down acres just out. This is now in Mexico, out of pique with the government. There is no concept. Loving the environment and natural beauty is a luxury of wealthy cultures.
Yes.
It's definitely something that's big in America. Usually I'm making fun of environmentalists, but I genuinely love our national parks. And now you have Mexican illegal, I assume in this case mostly illegal, but who knows? They could well be, could be anchor babies. Spray painting over ancient Indian petroglyphs here in the United States, spray painting up beautiful national parks, making them absolutely unhikeable, unwalkable, rivers flowing with trash. Litter just isn't a concept of a peasant society. And I keep talking about Mexicans, that's because that's the largest. That's the closest peasant society to the United States.
Right.
If Pakistan were on our border, I suspect it would be Pakistanis that are dumping litter and setting
right,
our parks on
fire. Right, because it's a necessity of poverty. It's a luxury to
it's
be
able really
to...
It's not really a necessity when they're burning the parks down.
No, but if
when
you
they're
go to,
dumping their garbage.
Take, I don't mean in America. I mean it, culturally, the background of it is poverty. Like in Africa, yeah. they burn elephant dung as fuel, and then we come in and tell them, no, that's bad for the environment for you to use coal, so stick with the dung, and then they get all these diseases because they're inhaling hot shit all day.
I did not know that.
So poor people don't have the luxury of caring about the environment. So
no,
when they
that
come
is
here,
true.
They perpetuate that culture. But
that's even the ones who are trying and not the ones just dumping their trash all over.
Right. So say hypothetically, you and I don't see population as a threat. We don't see the world as dying and we're on the cusp of some sort of environmental destruction. But if you are an environmentalist,
right.
then the premise should be it's Mother Nature can't take all these people. Now, if you're concerned about people, which you have to be if you're an environmentalist,
then you have
to be concerned about immigration.
Yes, yes, and they are not. And oh, sorry, you're totally right. I just wanted to make the what I think is the more serious point. But environmentalists have been carrying on about overpopulation forever, including with that governor of Colorado, Richard Lamb, saying that old people have a duty to get out of the way and die.
Yes.
And the environmentalist governor, I think it was of Oregon, going on TV talking about how great Oregon is. Yes, please come visit, but don't stay. No, environmentalists want more of a sparse winter wonderland, actually, but outdoors. And what happened, the reason they shut up about it, was some big hedge fund guy offered the Sierra Club $100 million, provided they would never come out against immigration.
Can we just pause? Can we sink that? Can you let that dissolve into your brain, please? The Sierra Club, one of the most powerful environmental groups in America, plowing forward logically for many decades, I believe.
Demanding a decrease to immigration.
Decrease. Everything is going fine. Their logic is sound. And then, boom, one donor, I believe because his grandparents were Jewish or something and they were immigrants. I don't know what his reasoning
is. Some psychosexual reason.
He bans it. And the Sierra Club fractures. I believe there still is an old Sierra Club who follows the anti-immigrant thing. And there's now two, and you know which one is well-funded and doing well.
Right.
And that keeps happening, the environmentalist movement, all the time. I remember seeing a New York Times blog that was doing an environmental special, and they ended up getting into population, because it's an unfortunate place you end up, inevitably,
yeah.
And then they just stopped it, because they can't take it when it doesn't fit the narrative.
Right. No, but it's stunning that the Sierra Club just said, oh, sure, where's the check?
They changed. That's, it was a 90-degree turn.
I know. As I say in the book, it would be like somebody offering the Catholic Church $100 million to come out pro-abortion.
It's exactly like that.
Did you bring the check?
That's not an exaggeration. And no one, again, that's the whole time I'm reading this book, I'm just going, no one ever talks about that. If we were fighting with pro-immigrant groups and they had all the data we had, that would be a boon. That would be a revolution. I'd be thrilled.
Right.
But we can't even get there. They don't know that there's 30 million. They don't know that there's a massive crime epidemic. I mean, you had to ferret out facts like 50% of the murders in Texas were done by illegals.
Apparently. I mean, I would like better numbers. As I say in that chapter, they're always using... That is to say, you know, like the liberal fact check groups, they're always using the absence of data to attack anyone else's figure. So tell us,
yes.
Government, all you have to do is count. Tell us how many foreign born are in prison. Tell us what countries they come from. Tell us what crimes they've committed. But the government absolutely won't tell us that. So I admit I prefer to have the hard numbers.
Right.
All I can do is look at ancillary facts like the most wanted lists.
Right.
New York State prisons has kept pretty detailed numbers, at least going back a few years. And I think now they're going to stop after I use their numbers in this book.
Yes.
Oops. We didn't mean for that to get out.
Yeah, what was that? That 70% of the Hispanic criminals in upstate New York are there for violent crimes.
Yes, and Mexicans most of all for murder. Foreign criminals are more likely to be in for murder and violent crimes than native born. I thought the most surprising thing was because, you know, I spend a lot of time in L.A. You notice a lot of Mexicans out there. About 50% of Mexican immigrants live in either Texas or California. So we don't really see that many Mexicans here in New York.
No.
Yet and still, there are more Mexicans in New York state prisons than inmates from the entire continent of Europe, and most of them are Muslims.
Amazing. Yeah, it's just, it's the most, it's a very frustrating book to read because you're reading all this stuff that no one's ever brought up. Why don't we get to the last two chapters where you provide a solution to this debacle.
Yes.
Well, step one is getting the correct info out there. And that worries me when I hear Eric Holder has now stopped any sort of racial crime statistics because he didn't like...
I knew that was coming.
Because he didn't like the numbers of black on white rapes as opposed to the numbers of white on black rapes. He went, oh, it's like that guy who refuted your Texas things. His rebuttal to your research was, it boggles the mind. Ergo, it can't be true. Right. So Eric Holder sees data he doesn't like. We're not doing that data anymore. And what are you talking about in the book? We know how many automatic radios Samoan
battery-powered radios Samoans have. We know exactly to the dot. Year after year, we know how many Americans have carports, have mold in their bathrooms. That requires taking surveys, sending out these massive census collection datas, relying on Americans to accurately report battery-powered radios or mold in their bathrooms, having statisticians pour through the data, collate it, put it all together. You know how we need what they need to do to find out how many foreign-born are in American prisons? Count. That's yeah. all they need to do. They're under your jurisdiction. We're already paying your salaries. And we want naturalized citizens. We want the anchor babies. We want the ones amnestied by Reagan, and we want the legal immigrants.
Well, we've got 2.2 million in prison. About half of that is drugs. If there's 50 million illegals, we know who the gangs are, and the gangs are doing drugs, drug dealing. So right there, it should tell you that there's a massive influx of illegals and Hispanics in jail.
There are a lot of signs that suggest that it's a pretty high rate.
Well, step one, before we can even get to your solutions, is getting the truth out there. But with a government that is stifling statistics, I get a little pessimistic.
Well, for one thing, I think it's worth saying, I think the immigrant crime rate is astronomical, and it enrages me that the government doesn't tell us and that the media shows no interest in this. But I would like to throw in at this point, we don't want to bring in immigrants who are committing crime at the same rate as we do. We don't even want them committing crime a little bit less. We want zero crime.
Oh, yeah.
Zero crime.
Well, that's the way it is for legals. I have a green card. If I get caught drunk driving, I could be done.
Whereas you can murder a family in Washington, D.C., and you're okay. If you're from Guyana, you know the Manchin
murder. Yes, yes, yes.
And he had already committed like 39 crimes.
Well, look at your Biddy Luckby Biddy guy. What was his name?
Bali Reddy.
Bali Reddy. He got 6 years for sex slaves.
Yes.
And murder.
Yes, and God bless the black female Republican judge who said, no, I think 6 years is a bit lenient for slavery. So they upped it to 8 years with the representative from the ACLU saying 8 years was too much.
Oh, that was shocking that the ACLU was backing this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows that the narrative has surpassed any sort of logic or initial agenda for the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yeah, because when I think American Civil Liberties Union, I think sex with 12-year-old girls.
Yes, free them. Free them to fuck 12-year-olds. So what's the solution, Ann? We're running out of time.
Okay, sorry.
Literally
the solution.
And
figuratively, yes, overall for the country. No, I think there is still hope. For one thing, Republicans have to wake up, and this is, it's such an important chapter. I'd actually turned the book in already. I went to dinner with a bunch of very, very rich Republicans saying the same thing, and they love America. I know them. They're lovely people, but they're all repeating the political class, the wealthy class, the donor class. They're repeating the same idiotic cliches about how we have to appeal to Hispanics. We have to appeal to Hispanics. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, and it's always been the case. I was thinking we used to have this exact same argument about Republicans for years, you know, were pro-abortion and pro-equal rights amendment because you have to, otherwise we'll lose the ladies. Well, no, you get, you know, one politician coming along and saying, no, I'm pro-life. And suddenly you drive up the white vote, the conservative vote. It's basically going for white, the white male vote. There are still more whites than any other ethnic group in this country. And once they got over the shock of someone asking for their vote, picked themselves up off the floor, they would respond overwhelmingly. And then we could get Republicans in, and then the technical... the technical solution is absolute 10-year moratorium, fire all the immigration judges. No, federal judges shall have no purview over immigration cases. No more immigrants coming in, not through marriage, not through asylum, not through refugee, none of the phony high-tech workers or family reunification. And, well, I personally would take the round them up route, but I'm perfectly happy with Mitt Romney's much more compassionate enforce, e-verify, and have them self-deport. I.e., go home the same way they got here.
I.e., follow the law that is already in the books.
Yeah.
They always say the system's broken. The system, no one's using the system.
Right.
I'm the only one who used it, and you punished me.
Yes.
And they always say, no one punished you. Yes, it's a punishment if going through the back door would have been free, cheap, and easy.
Yes.
Fast.
Yes.
And going this way is a $10,000 fine. That's a punishment.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, but I'm so glad you took the punishment.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you took the punishment by talking to someone with half your IQ and explaining this wonderful book that I cannot recommend enough. And if you are too liberal or punk rock to ever read an Ann Coulter book, take out the Carlos Slim chapter, put an Anarchy logo on the front, and read it as a zine. It reads like a punk rock, like Charles Murray's new book. It reads like a punk rock manifesto. It's a weird place to be where conservatives are more punk rock than young people.
Yes, including do it yourself.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Gavin. Or Gavin.
Gavin, and then don't even try McKinds. It's in Chinese. Mick, she went blah, blah, blah.
Thank you, Gavin.
Not an exaggeration.